This podcast is being sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Come visit us at ColdSlitherPodcast.com and then click on the link through our front page to MyComicShop.com. Shop there and keep the podcast going free. And you'll get new releases of comic books delivered right to your door. MyComicShop.com through ColdSlitherPodcast.com. Do it today. The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And I'm... That jokester behind the sound effects tonight is at PCN underscore dirt on Twitter.
Yay.
At least until Agent 70 joins us.
Oh, there's a lot of power involved with having these sounds.
Don't abuse the power. So make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and Comic Book Reviews. Follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Subscribe on YouTube to youtube.com/theclicknation. Subscribe also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for The Click Nation. Search for us on Google Plus. Search for The Click Nation. Use the hashtag Comic Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. Remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are a part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network, which we have to thank for helping us get nominated for Best 2014 Best Video Comic Book or Video Game Blog on the Black Weblog Awards. Our first time being up for an award, so thank you to our loyal listeners and viewers. Make sure to go to blackweblogawards.com to vote for us, along with other members of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network. Hashtag of the year, one gotta go. Best beauty blog is, I forget the exact name, Red Lipstick something. Best podcast is The Good and Terrible Show. And I believe that's it for fellow members of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network. So go vote once a day. Top two were, there's three combined websites in our group. So the top two advance, I believe. So surely we can at least advance to the next round. So with that, if you may have heard, this week is New York Comic Con. I'm sure that's what the people that were waiting in the lines and the crowds at the Javits Center were hearing in their heads.
I heard there was something happened today and they jammed everybody into a small room for a while.
Oh, lovely.
I'm not sure what that's about. I don't know if there was an Ebola outbreak or what happened, but apparently people were not happy.
Have to be careful with that nowadays. Well, maybe one of our listeners will tweet at us and let us know what's going on with that. I know Variant Dash, a listener and supporter of the show, who also came up with our intro music when you listen to the audio podcast, he went today, and he'll be going all week. And I forget exactly which day Agent 70 said he was going to be attending, but maybe we'll find out.
I think he said he's going Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So he's missing out on today.
Besides something that just got announced at the end of the show, nothing super major was announced. At least I looked on Marvel's website for their schedule, and they had stuff starting Friday, it seemed.
Yeah, not a lot of stuff usually happens on the Thursday.
Is that just a New York Comic Con thing, or?
No, that's usually all cons. Just there's more traffic, more attention on Friday, Saturday, so you'll start to get some stuff on Friday, stuff will start to come out Friday night, and then Saturday is when all the big stuff will happen.
Right. So with that, let's take a peek at the news this week, provided by our co-host, at Roddy Cat on Twitter. Ding!
There we go.
It's not so easy. Spot.
And what's his other website? Or his other Twitter?
At News Nerds Need.
See, I was ready for that one.
Keep up with all the breaking news and geekery. So, and I have a problem with this very first bit of news because so I'll just read it first. Robert Downey Jr. talks Iron Man 4, suggests Mel Gibson as director, confirms Flash and Iron Man 4 elsewhere, but not his involvement. So,
okay.
Robert Downey Jr. has been making the media circuit this week to promote his movie The Judge with Robert Duvall. So I listened to him, I believe it was Monday morning on Howard Stern's show, and of course Howard asked him about Iron Man 4, and you know, he didn't give any new news on it. So I guess between that interview and him appearing on the Ellen's show, he confirmed that they're in discussions for Iron Man 4.
Well, sure, because if you're going to confirm something, you're going to do it on Ellen's show, not on Howard Stern's show, right? Because that's where all the comic book people are going to be listening.
So I was like, I saw there was actual audio for the show, or audio and video from his appearance on Ellen, but I'm going to go by the interview I actually heard myself, and I'm going to say that there isn't any talks for Iron Man 4. Oh, and Variant Das is listening. He's tweeting me the info that we were talking about earlier.
Watch what you say. He's listening.
Good thing I gave him a shout out earlier. So he says, not sure about today, but usually at first they have everyone go into a room and then let them roll, and then let them roll them into the floor, I guess to avoid everyone rushing the floor to grab exclusives.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay.
So it's like Black Friday.
I mean, with some of those people, you never can tell.
Yeah. Those people?
Those people. Them people.
Alright, so who knows about Iron Man 4?
I mean, are you against, like, do you think it's one of those things where you'll never accept anybody else playing Iron Man ever again?
That's a good question. I see how the business works, so I know either they'll have to just get rid of the character Tony Stark, which I doubt, or they'll recast him. I mean, it's going to happen, so.
I almost wonder, you know, if you read the volume 4 or whatever it was, they drew Tony Stark to look like the guy from Lost, Sawyer from Lost. I can't think of his name.
The guy with the blonde hair?
Yeah. And so they drew him to look like that, so I wonder if maybe they'd be in talks with him to try the role.
He
could be a sleazy, you know, kind of pompous guy. Yeah, I could see that, you know.
I can too. My question is, what other Iron Man movies can you do? It's not like the last two, I mean, they made a lot of money, I guess that's the point, but especially the third one was like a Tony Stark movie more than Iron Man.
Well, but they could do Extremis. They could do the whole it taking over his body, and you know, it's no longer the suit. Did they?
Yeah, that was the third movie.
Oh, see, I didn't watch the third one, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was.
Maybe they could do it well.
Not him using a bunch of drone armors. I guess they could always take him into space. I guess they'll do whatever is the most recent thing in the books at the moment.
Well, or they could go into the whole alcoholic thing. where everything just falls apart because it was drinking and partying and everything like that.
I guess the interesting thing will be, I guess, according to how Age of Ultron plays out, that it'll be ripe for new, you know, stories to be told with him if, you know, if he feels guilty about creating Ultron, and if there is a splintering of the Avengers because some side with him and some don't.
You could do, are they going to do a new Avengers movie?
Probably eventually. If that is a rumor, well, that, I believe that is in the news rumor, our list of news somewhere in the 10 plus articles we've got.
Maybe a Dark Avengers movie.
Yeah. The Flash debut, highest rated CW premiere in 5 years. I know you didn't watch it.
Wait, I didn't even know I didn't watch it.
You can't find a CW network on your television set.
My video on demand, whatever. I plan on watching it. I just haven't got around to it yet.
Okay. It's great. I'll say that. it is great. It is.
I was just going to say, everybody loves Arrow. Like, everybody who comes into our store who watches Arrow loves it. And I just really couldn't get into that. And I think part of it was kind of the attitude of it. So I'm wondering if Flash I might enjoy more. Like, because it, from what I've seen, it looks like it doesn't take itself as seriously as Arrow. And I think I might enjoy that a little more.
You are correct. And to quote Geoff Johns, it's the most comic booky TV show ever to be made. And this is probably not in the news, but today it broke that images were leaked of Reverse Flash fighting Flash on set. That'll give you a clue of what to expect this year.
Well, that'll be something to watch for.
Yeah. Oh, and Variant Dash, who you can follow on Twitter, @VariantDash, says, I think Marvel will reboot after Phase 3 instead of recast, probably a 8 to 10 year cycle.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the reboot. It's going too smoothly. Who seems to be scrambling, which I hopefully we'll get to that in the news. Actually, we'll get into it now, because I'll just go off the top of my head. So supposedly, there's a bunch of rumors out about Sony, either A, the first rumor was A, trying to get something going with Marvel to get Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or B, do a soft, quote-unquote soft reboot of Spider-Man for the Sinister Six movie, and then do like a Dirty Dozens type movie. And I don't even know how much I believe all those rumors. It was from Bad Digest, or whatever that site's called. Hit Fits and Bad Digest, I think the name of the site was. So, I just find it very hilarious for not the right reasons that Sony would be thinking of doing a soft reboot when they just did a soft reboot or a reboot a couple years ago. That's the reason I don't believe it, but who knows? It's Sony. No thoughts?
No, just whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care enough, really. It's just they'll do what they do and life goes on.
Yeah. Well timed. DC Comics smashes Marvel on market share into September, but Wolverine's death tops the chart. Simon Kipps confirms Deadpool movie is a part of shared X-Men Cinematic Universe. No duh.
Wait a minute. X-Men Cinematic Universe?
Yes.
See, I read that as just Cinematic Universe. I didn't catch that it was the X-Men Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he's X-Men.
Yeah, I know. He's a mutant, and blah, 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 but...
Is he a mutant? I always forget that.
I think so, because he was part of the whole Weapon X program.
Yeah. I guess it seems like he's so, at this point, he's so disassociated from the X-Men line to me in the books that...
I think of him as an Avenger.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I just think of him as a Marvel Universe character. Speaking of mutants, Chris Claremont at Rose City Convention a week or so ago said how they're not, its writers aren't allowed to create new mutants because then Fox can use them. Unless your name is Brian Michael Bendis, apparently.
No, he doesn't create new mutants. He creates new Inhumans.
Not yet.
Yeah, that's what Kamala Khan is, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he created. Yeah. I guess you don't read the X-Men book, so. But he created a bunch of new mutants when he took over all new X-Men and Uncanny X-Men, new teenagers.
But yeah, but they're just fodder. They're not like key characters.
Yeah, I mean, who cares if Fox uses them? I mean, all Fox would do is have them like use their powers one time, and that'll be it in the movie without having a speaking role.
But that's enough to get an action figure.
Yep.
So,
but supposedly that they can create new mutants as long as they're under like a Marvel Now banner. So then they'll probably be considered shared characters, and Marvel can use them. So it probably is like, as long as they're not created in an X-Men book, they're fair game. And Agent 70 is ready. Let me get him pulled into the show.
Use your magic.
Magic done. Jerry Conway returns to Spider-Man in 2015, supposedly. Skip that. Supposedly, question is, does Stan Lee's Marvel movie cameos add up to him being the Beyonder? Or the Watcher, I'm sorry. That's Roddy Cat's theory.
Although, if he was the Beyonder, that'd be even better.
He'd need the white jumpsuit. Am I the only person that doesn't care about his cameos? Like, I always see, like, news sites. Is he going to be in this Marvel movie? I could barely tell you what his appearances were in any of the Marvel movies.
I'm just always like, hey, yay, it's Stan Lee made an appearance, but, you know, I mean, it's not enough to sway me one way or another if I'm going to watch something or not.
Right.
All right, Agent 70, because of your arrival, I am going to relinquish the sound effects here.
Nice. Thank you very much for covering.
He did an admirable job.
Excellent, excellent. Woo! Sorry to be running late, gentlemen.
No problem at all. We actually ran a little late ourselves with some small technical difficulties.
Oh, no. Hope you guys aren't experiencing any more rough weather.
It tried to get dark here like 2 hours ago, but quickly.
Yeah, it sprinkled this afternoon, but it hasn't been too bad.
Okay.
So, next up, nope.
You're just skipping stories now?
Yeah, which, I mean, the optional stories, at least.
Did you guys talk about what dropped at New York Comic Con today? I saw it, like, on my Facebook feed on my way home.
No.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, okay. We haven't gotten there yet.
Cool.
Arrow's plans for the Atom don't involve shrinking.
Really?
According to comicbook.com.
Dang.
So then what do you do with him?
Yeah, seriously.
Last night on the debut episode, he was just an egotistical businessman who, you know, so when Arrow launched, instead of calling it Star City, it was Starling City. But now Ray Palmer wants to rename it Star City. So that'll be how they get around that. Marvel announces Unbeatable Squirrel Girl ongoing.
That was my reaction to the news. Dirt's reaction, I think, is probably more fitting.
But where are our insert other character here books? Rabble, rabble, rabble.
It's about as exciting as the fact that DC launched Clarion number one this week.
Right.
I know. That's how I was when that Clarion news was announced 3 months ago or so.
My only knowledge of the character is from the Justice League cartoon. Let's be honest, right?
Mine would be from the Young Justice cartoon.
Oh, there you go. Surprise, surprise, I have my books for this week because I had to go to the store. What's that, a piggy's tail?
Yep, we got it.
Look at that. We can talk about all this stuff later. It's not like I read it. I just picked it up.
Showing it to you now.
You know?
Boom commits to multi-year publishing deal for James Tynion's The Woods.
Nice.
Congrats to him.
Yeah. But what if it gets really terrible?
Then they're stuck. They got to put them out. Deal with the devil.
That's right.
Avengers 3 may feature all new superheroes. So here's the story that we alluded to earlier, I believe. I believe we talked about this after we hit the record button. Can't remember if it was before or after. But yeah, so Dirk mentioned what there was
a
new Avengers.
Yeah.
So that's one rumor that they'll introduce new Avengers in either Avengers at the end of Avengers 2, I saw that rumor, or maybe 3. Also the rumor that Avengers 3 could be split into two movies to get around their contract thing, which I don't understand how that would play. They want to get paid for both movies just because you film them at the same time. I wonder, is that how that works? I wonder. Baron Dash works in the
book. You'd have to look at their contracts for that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, if some people only have one movie left, then you can sometimes get around it by filming. Basically, instead of one movie's worth of stuff, you film like an extra month and a half with them, and then you can use that extra footage to build the second movie out of.
Okay. As Agent 70 goes rifling through papers.
That's right. I'm pulling out my comics
for the bag. How rude.
It's a paper bag, man. What can you do? I'm also sorting through my books to bring for autographing for Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, next couple of days. But anyway, go on.
So, what is Marvel's mysterious off-site New York Comic-Con announcement? Luckily, we found that out about an hour or so ago. So, for those that don't know, Marvel had some big announcement at an off-site Marvel Station location. And
was it at the Avengers Station?
Yeah,
it was at Discovery Zone?
With the abbreviations like S.H.I.E.L.D., so Station.
Hmm.
And Marvel hyped it up that it was going to be the biggest news ever. And for those watching on the video right now can see Dirt holding up what the announcement was.
Ooh, Secret Wars. Ooh.
Which will be a year-long event that they'll be celebrating with toys and parties and who knows what else. And it'll be taking place after Hickman. So it'll be from Jonathan Hickman and Esad Ribic. It'll be taking
That's
place.
That's a cool team.
It is. It'll be taking place after time runs out. So I'm assuming it'll be a separate, 12-issue series. Or will it be crossing over with New Avengers or Avengers? Time. We need answers.
Yep. This might be Hickman's big Kang story. You never know. You know, like the culmination to, his use of Kang.
That was for Mender, wasn't it?
Right. But it's because they're all working so closely together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this might be his big Kang story, as opposed to Remender's big Kang story, which was the Apocalypse Twins and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. And we'll get into discussing Remender later when we have the reviews of the week. Marvel's Fantastic Four comic possibly canceled. Seemingly confirmed true, according to Bleeding Cool.
Yeah, that's so, pretty, not surprising at all, considering how adversarial, I guess, the relationship has become between Fox and Disney / Marvel.
And they got this information from, some pre-order information from distributors or something or another.
Right. There's a book that they've solicited to come out. It's called... Jeez, it had a four pun in it. That's what I remember. So that and it implies
the Fantastic Four forever spelled with F-O-U-R.
Right. Definitely implying that the series was coming to an end.
The end is forever. I see.
There it is.
It will. The trade paperback will collect Fantastic Four 642 through 644 and the triple sized final issue. 645.
There you go.
I know Agent 70 will be.
I'll be reading it. I'll be reading it. I mean, listen, how many final issues of the FF have we gotten in the last, like, you know, between 5 and 10 years? You know, I personally was. Yeah, exactly.
Four, right?
I've personally gone through my collection, you know, looking for books to, you know, that might be getting signed, you know, that I might want to get signed at New York Comic Con. I definitely ran across like two or three issues that said across the top, final issue of Fantastic Four. So,
well, I still remember being pissed off when they said they were canceling Fantastic Four for that stupid
Heroes Return.
Yeah, that the Heroes Reborn.
Oh yeah, Heroes Reborn. I'm sorry, I apologize. Yeah.
That was when Insanity started.
Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, I was hyped to see, you know, Jim Lee take it over and see what he would do with it, but it just didn't turn out very good. So, you know, that's what happens. You throw it at the at
who's
those
the writer on that?
Image founders.
Was Jim Lee writing it too?
I don't think so.
Was it Jeff Loeb?
That's a good question. Not sure.
Hello, Google. Sure.
Exactly.
Google.
I think it was Brandon Choi. I didn't look it up yet.
I think they're looking that up. Fox supposedly in the deep development on a live action X-Men TV show.
What do you think about that, Tim?
Go for it.
We're the residential X-Men people here. So
I mean, everyone else is getting stuff on TV. They've got the X-Men license. Use it. Put out. What'd be funny is the TV show will probably be better than the movies.
Yeah. Why do you think that?
Because I haven't really enjoyed any of the recent movies.
I haven't even watched the most recent one, Days of Future Past.
Yeah, it's all right.
I gotta try to watch that on demand or something.
I mean, they're not bad. They're not Amazing Spider-Man 2 bad.
Hmm.
They're just.
Are they Amazing Spider-Man 3 bad? They're not that bad.
It's Spider-Man.
Oh, not Spider-Man 3 bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't. I mean, I guess that was kind of real bad.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 was 10 times the movie than Spider-Man 3 was.
Yeah, that's saying a lot.
There are sketches on In Living Color about Spider-Man that were 10 times the movie that Spider-Man 3 was.
That's funny.
And yes, it looks like Brandon Choi was the writer of.
Is he still in comic books?
No idea. No.
Actually, I've seen that name. I've seen his name somewhere. Like
hello, Google.
Cortana.
Cortana, please.
Ant-Man. Ant-Man cast Martin Donovan in undisclosed role.
Okay.
Top of that. Dynamite to publish Bond comics and graphic novels.
You can't help it. You know it's Bond.
And Dynamite Entertainment announces a big event with 5 new titles. So that involves Mandrake and Phantom and all those people.
Cool.
And it's probably not on here, but Valiant also announced that they have 6 new titles coming in 2015. Valiant next.
Valiant now.
Next. I said maybe I'll take this as an opportunity to jump back into the Valiant universe again because I'm way behind. I may try to read Armor Hunters. And then start back again.
Yeah, it looks like Brandon Choi hasn't done anything since the Wildstorm days.
There you go.
He worked with Travis Cherris, right? On Wildcats?
I think so.
That sounds familiar.
Wildcats, Gen 13, Fantastic Four. That's pretty much. Psytech. What was Psytech?
Memorable stuff.
That's from what's called Psytech.
That's funny.
Scott Snyder has successfully persuaded DC Comics to push Batman back to $3.99 for next month.
Drawing the line at
$3.99.
He did it for the people. So you can save
the power.
You can save your things.
That's right.
Yep. So good for him. Images 5 Ghosts in development at Sci-Fi.
Okay.
You probably need to read that at some point then.
Funny.
Yeah, I hear good things about it, but have you read it?
Nope.
Plus, Frank Barbary is a name that seems to be popping up more now, so probably at some point it'd be probably a good idea to read his indie stuff.
And that's also also learned. Anybody that's really in love with you, they never just slowly, passionately make love to you. It's hardcore, sweaty love. And that's the bad advice I want to give to people this week. If you really love somebody, you got to do some really, really hardcore fornicating with each other.
I'm actually agree with you on this bad advice. I think you, your love should be expressed in filth.
Hey everybody, this is Gordon Baker Bone of the Baker Bone in Rome Bad Advice Show. Listening to a Cold Slither podcast. Definitely listen, definitely download, and definitely listen to our bad advice, because you'll need it one day.
Keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit ColdSlitherPodcast.com, then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the right of the page. Scroll down and you'll be able to shop at Amazon through us. There you can buy books, games, movies, music, and much more at Amazon, while at the same time helping us manage the cost of our network and keep our podcast free for you.
Archie meets Predator crossover coming from Dark Horse and Archie Comics.
Wait for it.
There was a gong.
Actual. That was exactly my reaction.
Archie making moves.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
That's all we got. Okay. The Flash casts Victor Garber as Firestorm's Dr. Stein, and Flash gets their Pied Piper. IDW to publish Jim and the Holograms comics.
It's truly outrageous, man.
And it's not on the sheet, but IDW announced that Storm Shadow will be, or I keep saying Storm Shadow, that Snake Eyes will be joining Cobra. Indeed. Maybe I'll get people to read the G.I. Joe comics again.
Right. They might need to give these G.I. Joe comics a break.
They just relaunched again.
No, yeah, a real break, you know?
The new one they just came out with was pretty good.
I should have
What's the spin on this one?
It is more of a political intrigue than an action book, and Cobra has repositioned itself as a more of like a mediator type global force, like a peacekeeper force, like a UN peacekeeping type organization. So they're the group that's basically willing to go in and put their lives on the line to hold everybody at bay to keep wars from breaking out, which, you know, of course, on the backside, they're making backroom deals and, you know, sending arms off to Putin and whatever. But it plays out much more like a like the first Born Identity type thing than... You know, like you've got congressional hearings and you've got, you know, secret covert ops stuff going on, and not so much hovercraft landing on Ellis Island while flames are coming off the Statue of Liberty's head, you know. Not that much stuff going on now.
Dude, that was when it was at its peak, its apex. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but how do you top that?
And that was one of the best ever, like, intro, like, one of the best animated intro sequences of all time.
But you gotta back off from that, let things calm down before you build up to it again.
That's funny. Alright.
That's news.
Cool. Is that Static Shock thing real news?
I have no idea.
Uh-oh. Guess you'll have to go back to that story.
Since we've teased it, I guess. So Static Shock comes to the bit screen, according to Lee and Cole, and I'm waiting for the tab to open now so I can see what this is actually about. And why did this first thing I see on this image say Jaden Smith?
Jaden Smith.
Yeah, see, that's not cool. That's not cool.
And I'm still waiting for the page to finish loading so I can scroll down. This got to be a joke.
Yeah, that's why I asked. I'm just not sure about this. What does this mean? Is this real?
No. Too many tabs open.
Don't worry about it. Next.
Hold on, I've got it open now.
All right.
I'm not reading this.
Yeah, that's why. Now you understand why I wasn't even, you know, sure, like, that it was real news.
Yeah, I couldn't tell either. So screw it.
All right. So there's a Twitter called Revive Static, and they are trying to make Static brought back as a TV show or a film.
Okay. Thought they were going to say comic, but I guess we'll take a movie or a TV show too. I guess TV show would be all right. Something procedural. Not procedural, but I can see definitely before a movie, I can see that happening just with how much stuff is making it on TV nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So what books do we want to... What do we want to start with first? Anyone have anything that just calls out to them, good or bad?
Oh. Okay, that...
You're cutting out, I think.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. So, talking about bad, anybody read Batgirl 35?
I read it.
No, I didn't get through it.
I hated it.
No kidding.
Like, I loved Gotham Academy, so I figured I'd give it a shot, and... This is... I don't even know where to begin. Like, it's just... First of all, the artwork is pretty terrible. From not only the character standpoint, like, I didn't like the way that they drew the people to begin with, but the layouts on the pages, there was nothing... Like, this is the one thing that bugs me the most when I'm reading a comic, is that a good artist will lay out the panels so your eyes flow from panel to panel to panel.
Okay.
And there was absolutely none of that in this book. Like, there was absolutely nothing drawing your eye from the left side of the page to the right side of the page. Like, it was all just random jumbles of characters going, you know, across the page. And the story... okay, I'm going to put this... I'm going to try to do this with an analogy, okay? If you're a member of the Bat family, you give up your personal life... You give up your friends. You give up all of those random pursuits because you are dedicated to justice, right? That's kind of like the theme of Batman. It's like sacrifice in order to be the hero that people need. And in this book, for whatever reason, Barbara now suddenly is going back to college, which means she's got to hang out with all the freaky freakies in an overloaded apartment with trash all over the floor, and they're always having wild parties, and so she's getting drunk and wasted, really? And someone steals her laptop, and as they're messing around with her laptop, they manage to set off a bomb that was in her van that was stored in Black Canary's warehouse, which burns down Black Canary's house. So Black Canary is now homeless and is living on her couch, and she's got to find the guy who stole all the information. And the analogy of, you know, you sacrifice all this stuff because you have a greater responsibility to justice and to the weak and to saving people. And at the end of Batgirl, it's like her partying and her getting drunk and her goofing off and hanging out with all these people led to terrible things happening to a bunch of people. And the lesson learned is... You tell people you're sorry, and it's another day.
No kidding.
There's no lesson learned of you have to make the sacrifice. There's no lesson learned that you have to be responsible. There's no lesson learned. Like, this is the entitlement generation, you know, just absolute worst. This is Jersey Shore set in Gotham.
No. You can't be.
Not Jersey. This is Occupy Jersey Shore set in Gotham. Because they're all protesting and drinking soy lattes.
Oh, my God.
But at the same time, it's all about themselves and having the party and who's making out with who and...
You know what's funny?
Tweets and... it was stupid.
What's funny is that, you know, the dudes at my comic shop were asking me if I had read it or you know, and or reviewed it. And I said, no, you know what? I hadn't gotten to it. And two of the proprietors basically told me that they were not fans of the book. And they hadn't even made it all the way through the book because... Their rationale was, if the entire book is like the first 10 pages, it was way too childish, way too immature, way too just uninteresting for them, you know, to continue reading. So yeah. I get the feeling that you probably feel, you know, pretty much the same.
Even Black Canary.
You know, which is...
I made it through the entire book. Yeah, that's it was, you know, you make that sacrifice for getting out these reviews. You know?
Right.
Justice with me, but like even Lightning. Black Canary in this, Black Canary comes across like a 15-year-old girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My thing was like, I guess maybe since I don't read, hadn't read Batgirl previously, seemed very irresponsible.
Yes.
Like you said, like you ran down the whole chain of events that led to her losing all her stuff. It's like, is that really what's happening to her? But that all that given said, I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would, because I saw the preview art and I was just like, oh, I thought it would look like the cover, which I guess Cameron Stewart did the cover, and he just did the breakdowns, and Babs Tarr does the work over it. But as I got used to the art, but like I said, I ended up liking it more than I thought. We'll see if I actually keep up with it month to month. But yeah, I still will put Gotham Academy over Batgirl.
Yeah, like there's like I could see when I read Ms. Marvel, the relaunch. Like I could see why people liked it. Until it wasn't for me, you know. It was just kind of one of those things. There, you know, I could see why there was an attraction for people there. Mm-hmm. But this book, 12-year-old girls, 14-year-old girls, maybe that's the market for this book. Maybe guys who just like to look at drawings of girls might be the market for this book. But I don't know of anybody, especially anybody who reads Batman titles, mm-hmm. any, you know, has any sort of affection for Gotham and Arkham and, you know, the history and legacy of the Batman titles. I don't see anybody being like, oh, yeah, definitely, this is the book I'm going to go with.
Mm.
You know, it's just, I know they're trying to reach out to different markets, but are there still Hannah Montana fans out there?
No.
I think the market would be the young girls. The ones like her around.
They're not going to read comics, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess they think they will. The ones that are like around the 21-year age, because they can say, you know, she gets drunk and hooks up with guys, too.
Oh.
Well, I'm sure it'll win an Eisner for being daringly different, you know?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's bad. Wow. All
right.
All right. All right, so...
Hello?
No, I'm here. Hello? I thought someone was blinking out.
It sounded like you were going to get frozen, and then it went quiet.
Mm. Flying Star, we're off to here, people.
But go ahead.
All right, so you want me to throw out a book? How about one of the books that I was pleasantly surprised by this week, Nightcrawler number 7. Anyone else read this?
No.
Nope.
So, very quickly, this is... already the aftermath of the death of Wolverine, even though we haven't actually seen it on paper yet, because this is published slightly out of order.
Because this one came out on schedule?
Yes, pretty much. So, you know, I was pleasantly surprised by this because, you know, Marguerite Bennett does the plot and Chris Claremont does the script, and it just seems, it's very heartfelt, really sells it. It's Todd Knock's art. And Todd Knock does a very good job of recreating what characters looked like during certain periods when, you know, certain artists were drawing the X-Books. And, you know, some of it is a faithful recreation, and what's great is that they're homages where Knock will even note in, like, a margin or in a detail, you know, after Alan Davis or after, this artist or that artist, then you could just tell what he was trying to do when he was recreating it. I was, you know, like I said, pretty impressed that, you know, at this book, because it seemed, you know, like I said, heartfelt. It does come from a different place because Nightcrawler himself has just, you know, died and been brought back. And it's a different perspective. To a certain extent, you know, we're used to seeing the survivors mourn and deal with their loss. Here we have someone who was just recently lost, dealing with, you know, loss, having just come back from, you know, being in the afterlife.
So my question is, you say that it does show his point of view of having recently died and come back. Mm-hmm. So, is he at all saying, okay, well, he's gone, but let's face it, nobody's dead forever, so he'll obviously be coming back? Is that kind of his point of view?
Honestly, I don't think they want to go into that
That's totally what this book should be.
Especially with Nightcrawler, because he just came back.
Right. He's like, I remember when my friend Colossus died. Oh, and then he was alive. And then right. I remember when Professor X died, but then right. he was alive. But then he died.
I think that's probably the cynical X-Men reader's viewpoint, and you know, even the cynical comic reader. I think that, you know, to a certain extent, you have to you know, kind of put that aside. They do acknowledge, obviously, and they have been acknowledging that, you know, in some of these books, oh, guess what? Kurt Wagner, you're back. You know, didn't we just go to your funeral? And I'm sure that exists in some of the other books, but in this particular book, I think it has to do more with, the history between the characters, and it's kind of a nice trip down memory lane. And like I said, just sort of a celebration of their friendship and relationship. So, you know, I like I said, I was pleasantly surprised by this book. I enjoyed reading it as an old school X-Men fan.
I like Todd Knott's art.
It's good in this book. It's good in this book. He's really developed a solid style where you can still tell it's him, but you know, it's very clean.
Okay. Batman 35.
Hmm.
The other Batman of the week. Yes, had a surprise ending.
I
didn't tell you. Especially because I stayed spoiler free until I read it last night. So, do we want to? So the
you want to spoil it?
Before we spoil it, we'll just talk about what the book's about. It takes place after the events of Batman Eternal. So we already
is Batman Eternal about to end?
Nope.
Jesus.
It's on issue 35. Well, it's on issue whatever 20 something. MG2, I believe. So we're, I guess, a little over the halfway. Well, yeah, a little near the halfway point. So Arkham Asylum is no more, which is why we're going to get the Arkham Manor book, because Wayne Manor will take its place. So Batman needs a new place to stay. He moves into the city at one of the old Wayne Towers. On the 13th floor.
What, you mean to make it more like the movie?
which was a former Court of Owls place. So there's like an owl in the office. Julia.
Where there's masks is there.
Yeah, so Julia Pennyworth is helping out. So obviously she knows his identity. I don't know if that's already been revealed to her in the book. Okay. He's going to use the monorail underneath the city to travel, yada, yada, yada. Oh, and he was sprayed with some super-duper fear toxin, like that hasn't happened before, from Scarecrow. And he's getting visions of the future of how he's going to die. And we see the character Duke from Zero Year, and also from the Five Futures End, where he's Robin. In Batman's vision, he is Lark. I guess I am spoiling stuff now. But he's attacked by Wonder Woman in the new tower he's in, and he puts on his Mecha Bat suit that he got from the gods.
Mecha Batsuto.
So he has his Hulkbuster suit on, and he fights the Justice League. And he believes they're mind controlled by somebody, and of course he's Batman, so he knows how to take out every member of the Justice League until he is confronted by who the real mastermind is. And should we reveal that? I should say, just go read the book.
Yeah, go read the book.
It's actually, for being what is basically your, you know, setup book, this is the first 10 minutes of a Justice League cartoon, you know, right. Basically this. But, I mean, for what it is, it's actually very well done. I really enjoyed it. I thought they laid it out, the way they unfolded everything, they revealed everything, the way they had the different Justice League members come at him and how he was able to go up against them. I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And plus, there's a backup story of these lunatics that escaped from Arkham, and they're hiding out with their doctor, and they're talking about one of the inmates of Arkham, who we will not spoil. And each one has a different story, but it's like each one's story is how they mentally disturbed anyway, and so then they're trying to interpret what happened to them, and so they have this kind of larger-than-life legend that they're dealing with, and they're trying to relate. And so the artwork is done by Kelly Jones.
Yes, very dramatic.
In the 90s, and I love it. I love this backup. I thought it was great. I can't wait for more of that. It's perfect for Halloween.
Yeah, I haven't read the backup yet, but I will.
It's good. It's good.
I read the first couple of pages.
I got through the main story, I was like, okay, that's good enough for now. Try to read some of the books. Cool. So, yeah, sounds like we all enjoyed Men 35.
Yep. All right.
What about Avengers? Did everybody read Avengers?
Number 36?
Yeah.
I did.
I did also. And, of course, I love Stefano Caselli art, so it's a win for me as far as that goes. As Dirt said in his notes, it was a slower issue. Kind of we caught up with Cannonball, Sunspot, Smasher, who's the teleporter?
Starbrand.
Who's the teleporter I'm forgetting? Start with the M? Damn it.
Manifold.
Manifold.
Maggot.
Oh, no. That's funny.
So basically, it's like everyone, it's the issue of preparing it, the assembled Avengers to go, I guess, cross multiverses, and it's the whole, you know, it's a one-way trip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's led by Odin's son. And who's that other guy?
Hyperion.
Hyperion. Superman. So, who are best buds now because they got matching beards.
That's funny.
So,
well, you know, they try, you know, these are like the next level of superpowered heroes on the Avengers roster. You know, they're trying to put together a team of heavy hitters, and it's a pretty, you know, impressive squad that they're sending to the other side of the universe, the multiverse, to try to, you know, try to do whatever it is they need to do
to stop these incursions.
Right.
So here's my question: is Avengers going to be the story of these people traveling across the multiverse? Is it going to be the story of the people left behind, or are they going to try to go back and forth between the two for the next 7 months?
My question is, how are we going to find out what happened within those 7 months? Because I thought the time jump was going to jump to the, you know, 8 months in the past, in the future, and then go back and, you know, tell the story.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We shall see. Hickman's got us on a string. You kidding me? Yeah.
And New Avengers comes out next week.
Yay.
Nice.
So another Avengers related book, Avengers and X-Men Axis.
Yeah, let's get to it.
I'm gonna use this cover. I like this cover better. With Scotty Young artwork.
Read the captions for us.
Well, Red Skull Onslaught is going, "What do you think?" And Dr. Doom goes, "Oh yeah, that's some tight hate game right there."
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Alright, so here's the thing with Axis that annoyed me right out of the gate, is that it opens with this psychic attack, like this telepathic attack on all the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody starts getting mad at each other and fighting each other. And Tony Stark goes, "Oh, wait, it's a good thing I just put this MacGuffin in my armor." And then suddenly he can fix it, and then it goes away, and this giant thing that put the whole world in jeopardy is like 4 or 5 pages, and then it moves on? Like, wait, what?
He's like Batman.
Right.
He wins his trusty utility belt.
Yeah, good thing he had that can of bat shark repellent.
That's right.
Just put into his armor there.
But ultimately, what's funny about that particular aspect is that it's revealed later on that it's ineffective, or it's being rendered ineffective. So, spoiler alert, where's the damn bell?
Okay.
You know?
My issue was...
Wait, hold on a second. Can you really ring the spoiler bell after you've said the spoiler?
You know. I just
in case someone wasn't listening. Pay attention to what you just said.
Delayed.
That's right. I was looking for the spoiler bell while I was yapping.
I had an issue with the panel layout. There was too many panels on some pages.
It's a lot to be explained.
Adam Kubert was piling on the panels. So
well, but sure. Did you also see how many word balloons there were? I think, I honestly think... script had something to do with it.
I hated the dialogue in this because it seemed like every time they encounter a threat, it's like, oh, well, it's time for an offhanded quip.
I felt like Remender was doing his best Bendis impersonation.
Right. I was going to say I've had this feeling for a little while now with Remender's work when he's using the mainstream Marvel heroes that I didn't have the same feeling about his writing when he was doing Uncanny X-Force, where it just seems forced sometimes. The phrasing and the timing just doesn't seem right. It seems off. And I guess you're right. I guess this is his best Bendis impression, trying to be cute and still serious at the same time.
To me, it kept taking me out of the fact that this is supposed to be some
serious world thing.
Like, yeah, this is the big thing that we're all worried about. You know, I was just waiting for a fart joke.
Mm.
Like, it just got to the point where they're taking it so casually.
Mm-hmm.
That I was just waiting at some point someone to like come up with a McDonald's drive-through bag because they made a stop on the way because they're that worried about this world threat. You know,
right? You know what's funny about the constant event, you know, I guess it's a byproduct of event fatigue, right?
Yeah.
But the constant events, and we've said this before about things like Fear itself and some of the other events that just weren't as earth-shattering as they were supposed to be, and we just sort of, you know, ho-hummed or poo-pooed them and moved on to the next big event. And now that I know what the 2015 Marvel event is, I read this and I think, so what? I think, you know, the next one is going to be the one that matters. And it's bad. That's bad.
It seems like two-thirds of this book is serious and the other third isn't. Like you said, the Avengers portion is like them with the quips and being lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the dark, serious stuff with Magneto and Scarlet Witch and Havoc and finding the Red Onslaught. And then you have the very serious thing at the end, which the reveal was cool to me. I liked the callback.
Mm.
But it would have had more impact if the earlier portions of the book had been just as serious.
And that's another thing, is I hate Onslaught.
Yes, like, it brings back bad memories.
Yeah, that's a terrible character for them to bring back.
Yeah. It brings back bad memories because Onslaught...
Who's next? Overkill?
Listen, Onslaught led directly to Heroes Reborn.
Oh, another black mark.
You know, you were just talking about it, you know? So we were
maybe
just...
that's what Secret Wars will lead to.
We're going backwards in time, right? Where's Dirk Geekus to tell me off and tell me don't worry about recycling these old stories? Dirk Geekus, where are you?
There's always going to be recycling because there's always a new generation of fans that didn't read Onslaught stuff originally.
Right.
That's right. Funny. Let me find a book. Well, I guess I mentioned Atsis, so I was going to say it was a book I mentioned.
How about Amazing Spidey?
Yeah, I finished that before the show.
Nice.
It was which basically, you know, I knew it was a bad look for this issue, since usually, especially during the Superior Spider-Man run, like Superior Spider-Man would be one of the first books I read each week to get ready for the show and do reviews and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Same with the Amazing Spider-Man when it first launched. But now, like each issue, I'm just like, yeah, I'll get to it. And like, I didn't read this one until right before the show started, and I can see why. has nothing to do with the guest star, because her appearance, Ms. Marvel, was fine. It's just nothing happened in this issue. And I have, so, okay, rant time. I thought about
this earlier. I was about to say, we don't have a sound effect for this. We're going to have to find one.
Yeah. So, especially me ranting on this iteration of Amazing Spider-Man, and how it just isn't clicking. Not just because Peter Parker's back and Otto's gone. I mean, that is part of it. But, so, Peter was dead and is now alive. When has he dealt with the ramifications of what Doc Ock did in his body for however long a period of time that was?
They're still doing it. It's like an ongoing thing.
Is it? Because all they've been doing is seeding Spider-Verse since this number one launched. They've been seeding Silk. I guess the Black Cat stuff a little bit. I mean, that was like one. Her and Anna Maria, they've dealt with.
Right, they also dealt with the Avengers stuff, too.
That was just like done so quickly. Hey, I was...
Yeah, you gotta believe me. Ock was in my brain.
Doc was in my brain. Okay. You know, crazy stuff happens to us superheroes.
Exactly.
No fallout. You're still an Avenger. I feel like there should be more ramifications playing out. Like, he should be dealing with, like, talking to Mary Jane and Aunt May and stuff, like, and how he lost... Horizon Labs and trying to run Parker Industries. It just, like, since the issue, to me at least, it felt like since Amazing Spider-Man relaunch, it's been about seeding and introducing Silk. Yeah, and setting up Spider-Verse.
Right. No,
and then Spider-Verse, they should have held off. Like, Spider-Verse is too soon after, you know, ending Superior and starting Amazing.
I don't know. See, here's the thing. I'm not a fan of where they're going with Spider-Verse and this whole, you know, let's introduce as many Spider-Man characters as we can and, you know, let's do this big crossover. Again, it's probably you can attribute that to event fatigue, but, you know, it seems like they wanted to do a quick break from, you know, Superior and not have to deal with a lot of the aftermath yet, and I wonder if that wasn't a conscious decision to say, you know what, let's do something completely different, but at the same time they're still going to have Superior running around in Spider-Verse, so it's not the, you know, it's not the cleanest break in the world. Maybe they're seeding, you know seeding a story where Otto somehow makes it back with, you know, some...
No, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
Okay, here we go.
No, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
There you go.
Yeah, save that.
That's fine.
No, I don't want to get off on a rant here. But this Amazing Spider-Man, what's his deal?
But I'm in a rant. I want to get off on a rant here, but I'm in a rant.
That's funny. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, I mean, that's my point. I guess they just wanted to jump headlong into the story, and it was probably a calculated decision on their part. You know, the ramifications of Otto, you know, they'll deal with that later.
Yeah. Did you read it, Dirt?
Nope.
I'm about to say, yeah, you don't read...
When Superior was out, I read every issue of Superior. It was one of the first things I read. I enjoyed it. And then when they just had that one issue where Doc Ock goes, oh my gosh, I can't do it anymore. Here, Pete, it's all back to you. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a great line in this at the very end. What's that?
I said, joke's on me.
Oh, you're breaking up a little. You're breaking up a lot.
As much as I hate it, it still sells very well.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Let's see what else we got here on the list this week. Did anyone read Birthright number 1?
Not yet. Try to get to it before the show.
Dirt?
Nope.
No kidding.
I mean, it's an Image book, right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, beyond that, I don't know a thing about it.
No kidding. I think this would, I think you'd be interested in this. It's I don't want to spoil too much because there is a twist at the end, and, you know, it's worth reading, but just to give a basic primer on the story, it revolved a child who goes missing, and, you know, that's the child, you know, for the viewers out there, you can see the cover that Dirt put on the screen. This child goes missing, and the story is basically what happens in the aftermath of that, and what happens when he is mysteriously found years later, and what happens to him, and where he's been, and what's going to happen next. There's some sword and sorcery involved. There is, you know, it's still set in modern times, but there is some sword and sorcery involved. The art by, I'm looking up the artist right now, by Andre Bresson is very good. Joshua Williamson is the writer and co-creator. Andre Bresson is the co-creator and artist. I give them a lot of credit for composing a very good first issue. I don't want to spoil too much. I think I've described it in as least spoilery fashion as possible.
There's some big reveals in it, right?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a couple. There's a big one at the end. That's what I don't want to spoil too much. But ultimately, I think it's well done. It's a nice chunk of reading. I think it's a good start to the story. So, if you're into, if you're looking for something that's sort of nonsense, I wrote in my notes that this was a candidate for a non-superhero click of the week. I hadn't had a chance to read Puppy's Tale. You know, what is that, a Puppy Tale? What book was that I picked up? I totally forget the title now. Piggy's Tale. I do a disservice to the creator. I'm gonna make the crackling paper noise again on the show. Yes, A Piggy's Tale. I haven't had a chance to read this yet. This might be my non-superhero click of the week, but I'm gonna stick with Birthright for that. I recommend it for anyone who's looking for something new and slightly different to try.
Yeah, I didn't get to read A Piggy's Tale because my daughter stole it and ran
nice.
Out. And I haven't seen it since.
Good job, kiddo.
Thief.
Good job, kiddo. In terms of Birthright, I think, I think it was well executed. I think the story's well put together, and I'm looking forward to the next issue. So, and as I said, I would recommend this to anyone who's actually looking for something new and different to try.
All right, I'll check it out over the weekend.
Nice, nice. All right, what else?
I read Witches number one.
How was that?
That was
sold out. I was about to say that was sold out at the comic book store.
It was all right. It's not my cup of tea, but it was. I could see it being enjoyable and like an interesting story to keep up with. So it's basically about, of course, witches with the Y. But it's not about the witches that everyone assumes. Like, those are just, I guess, like the legend, witches of legend. And there's, this other group that are the real people to fear. And there's it deals with the family and their daughter, Sailor. Not Sailor Moon.
Ah!
And, like, she encountered what looked to have been a witch. So. That's about all I can say about it right now. It's got art from Jock. One word.
All right.
Yeah, I flipped through it. It looked interesting, but it was one of those things where I only had so many hours, so I figured I'd, probably read it over the weekend. Just didn't have time to get to it in the last day or so.
Yeah. Okay. I probably won't keep up with it, but just because it's not like my genre of book.
Mm.
I like my superheroes.
Mm. That's cool. All right. Wow, I think that's pretty much what I read this week.
I'm going to throw out Winter World.
I did see that on the shelves.
I've talked before about how I've enjoyed this. It's, again, a dystopian future, but the world is frozen instead of being jungle, whatever. So this guy's trying to survive, and he finds this little hidden community, and they call themselves La Niña. And they call themselves La Niña because of the weather pattern. When the La Niña winds come in and bring in the warm ocean currents, they have this nice, lush, green countryside for a year. And so they have learned to plant their seeds and harvest their crops during that year, and then they'll live off them for the next 3 years until the next La Niña comes along and warms it back up. But, of course, they're very protective. But they have been stockpiling gasoline for years. And in Winter World, we don't know how long it's been frozen, you know, how it got this way. But they, you find out as this issue unfolds that this group is also secretly a cult. And they are a cult of Al Gore worshippers, I guess you could say. And but here, wait. They have a copy of An Inconvenient Truth.
No kidding.
And of course, the in Inconvenient Truth, it says that the world is going to get hot and temperatures are going to rise. But of course, the world has frozen. So they have been collecting the gasoline, and they kind of weirdly worship it. And this guy pulls up in this all-terrain vehicle that he's been driving, you know, across the frozen ocean. And they begin to realize that he is a person of power, and that he will have the ability to bring the CO2 that the atmosphere needs in order to crack open the sky and to bring the heat back to the planet. And, you know, this guy's listening. Like, this guy is really selling this like a cult leader. Like, this is what we have prayed for. We have prayed for the CO2. This will crack open the sky, and the rains will come, and the temperatures will rise. And this guy's like, these people are crazy. Like, he's like, first of all, you know, assuming it is true, we are one truck. There's no way we're going to make enough CO2 to bring the heat back. And they think that in order to help kick this off into motion, of course, they need a human sacrifice. And who better?
Of course.
Who better than the young girl he is traveling with?
Of course.
So, you know,
it makes sense.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it unfolds, and you know, you kind of have a chuckle, you know, at what is going on. But then at the same time, you really like these characters, and you begin to realize how much danger they're actually in, because A, you know, this girl may get sacrificed, and in this type of book, you never know who's going to survive and who's not. And two, what's going to happen once they realize that one truck is not enough to kick off an industrial revolution, you know, to reheat the planet in carbon dioxide. So what's going to happen when these people freak out and realize that they're going to fail at this thing? So, you know, it brings that kind of level of tension. But I really just, I thought that was the funniest thing when he pull out this copy, this, and it's in Spanish, nonetheless. They pull out this copy of An Inconvenient Truth, and they're trying to bring him into the cult to understand, you know, how to crack open the sky. So I really enjoyed it because of the fact that it is kind of funny the way he plays off of it, but then at the same time there is kind of a real tension of, you know, well, these guys, they're going to be in real danger once this, you know, these groups of freaky freakies realize that they're not going to be able to pull it off. So it's still a good book, and especially people that love those types of futures like I do, the Mad Maxes and the Walking Deads and all that type of stuff. It's definitely one to keep checking out. It has not disappointed yet.
All right. I read the issue. I what is it? This is number 3?
Yeah.
I read the first 2 issues, so I'll try to I'll make sure to take a look at this one.
Did anybody read The Alien vs. Predator?
No, I meant to.
Okay.
What do you think?
I have not read any of the other ones. There was an Alien one and a Prometheus one, I think, are the two that are out so far.
Okay.
And I didn't read those, and apparently they all work together. So I can say right now that if you're going to read these, you have to read them all.
No kidding.
Yeah, and that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's not cool.
The other thing is that this book is super confusing beyond the point of it relating to the other books, because apparently this one is set in the future beyond what the other two books have shown so far, and they may link up at some point. Like, it may, the other ones may lead into this, or this one may start to, you know, go back and tell you some of the history, whatever. But, you know, just reading this, I was lost. And then I read some other comments online, and people said, oh, well, this is the character from this, from the Aliens book. This is the character from the Prometheus book. I'm like, okay, well, then that's part of the reason why it doesn't make sense. And then reading more comments from people going beyond the fact that it ties into those books, it's confusing to people who have read those books. So just, I can say right now, if you're interested in any of this stuff, you're going to have to track everything down and read it. There's no way you're going to be able to.
That's no fun.
Yeah, that kind of bummed me out.
Not very new reader friendly now, is it? Gotcha.
Screw new readers. Not really.
Please don't.
That's funny.
Did anybody read Green Lantern Corps?
I did. I did not put it on my list, but I did read it. What do you have to say about it?
I was going to say I enjoyed it overall, but it was a side story to what's going on. It didn't feel like a main chapter. Just kind of how the rest of the Green Lantern Corps is dealing with the New Gods, and their plans to gather the rings and harness the right energy. So just,
I don't know if it's a side story so much as just following up on the developments in the first two issues and just showing that they're really, the different sides and, they didn't just leave that one planet that they transformed, as fodder. They're going to turn out to be fodder, but at least we had an entire issue dedicated to the aftermath of that, the attempt to use the White Lantern power.
Yeah, Godhead Act 1, Part 1 mm-hmm. was New Gods, Hal Jordan, Gather the Rings.
Right.
And then Act 1, Part 2 was New Gods, Hal Jordan, maybe collecting the rings wasn't the best way to go, maybe there's something else. And then Act 1, Part 3 is, I think, maybe two New Gods, no Hal Jordan, nothing to do with the collection of the rings. Like, it just felt like it, to me, that's why it felt like a side story, because it didn't follow that main story as it has been presented in the first two parts. It just kind of goes off. Like you said, it follows up on the threads. It's giving, it's showing you what's happening over in this section of the story, but it's not following Highfather. It's not following Orion. It's not following Metron. It's not following Hal Jordan. It's not following Mogo. It's not following, any of that other stuff that was the key stuff of the first two parts.
Right. So, Metron and Highfather make, just a token appearance towards the beginning of the book. So, I definitely understand your point of view on this. Every crossover, story has these types of issues. So, it's nothing I was too surprised by. Can you do without this and still understand the greater story? Probably.
Yeah, that's the main thing I was going to say, is that it just feels like you could skip this one and you're not going to miss anything.
Right, other than maybe, at the end, I'll drop a quick spoiler alert. There are still blue lanterns out there. That's a blue lantern, right?
Indigo.
Yes. It is blue, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are still blue lanterns out there.
Technically, indigo is a little bit of blue mixed with a little bit of violet.
Okay.
Don't you know your color spectrum? Your Roy G. Biv?
Oh, yeah.
Indigo and the violet one look all the same to me. What's the purple one? Is that violet?
No, the Star Sapphire.
Yeah, Star Sapphire and violet look the same to me.
But like I said, I guess there's still, there's still other, I know that there's certain lantern cores that are, far smaller in number than the Green Lantern Corps. Obviously orange, but it's nice, they drop a strong hint that there's still other, ring light bearers who are out there who are, working. Working to move, I guess, the story forward. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Let's throw out a rapid review time.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Starting to wind down here, peoples.
We've gone over all the ones I've read.
Just real rapid review. Captain Marvel number 8. Shout out to Roddy Cat. We get our Flurkin Cat story. The wrap up to it. I was kind of disappointed in the wrap to the story. You know, it's almost like an all's well that ends well type of story. We do realize, you know, we do find out Captain Marvel's cat Chewie was in fact an alien hiding a lot of secret abilities and powers and whatnot. So, you know, there's a little bit of humor, you know, surrounding that particular side of the story. Can you do without this and still, you know, kind of enjoy Captain Marvel? Probably. Is it a vehicle to see, to have Rocket Raccoon make a guest appearance, you know, a star of a, you know, multiple million-dollar movie? Kind of. You know, are they trying to capitalize on it? Probably. But ultimately, you know what? It follows up on this one thread that they had developed earlier in the series when Rocket basically calls her, you know, her cat a flurkin. And, you know, we kind of get the payoff on that. But does it really make a difference in the long run? Well, we get the possibility of a sidekick for Captain Marvel developed here in terms of an alien that she's been helping try to get back to... How do I put this bluntly? Well, basically, it's this alien who was orphaned, lost her homeworld during Infinity, and you know, she's basically looking for, you know, I guess a new purpose in life, and through some trials and tribulations, she's decided to try to stick with Captain Marvel and kind of become her sidekick. So it's not just the adventures of Carol Danvers in this. In this book anymore, it's going to be Carol Danvers and this alien named Tick. So, you know, it's interesting. It's almost like a buddy girl, you know, type of story. You know, I wonder where DeConnick is going with this, but I guess you always need to have, you know, another character around to bounce things off of, and when Captain Marvel's in space, you know, unless you're going to have the Guardians guest star in every issue, they need to throw an extra character in there for her to interact with, right? So I guess this is DeConnick's way of doing it.
Usually with the solo characters, you have to try to get that supporting cast going for them.
Right, and this is, you know, I guess this is one means of developing that. That's a great alternate cover, by the way, for Rocket Raccoon.
Which one?
The one that the recreation of the Epting.
This one?
Yes, that is a great, great cover.
That is a Hasbro toy cover.
Yep, that is a great cover. It's a recreation of Captain America issue towards the end of the first Winter Soldier arc, or the main Winter Soldier arc. That's great. Makes me want to put it together with the figures I have right now.
What about the Stomp Out Bullying variant?
Is that the one?
This is the Stomp Out Bullying variant for Rocket Raccoon.
Doesn't look like
they're sitting with the lunch team.
Right. They're trying to be the cool kids.
Yeah, they're sitting with the uncool kids so that he has friends. That's how you stomp out bullying.
Right.
Just say no.
And knowing is half the battle.
Clicks of the week time.
Yeah, let's roll.
Wait. I got a couple real quick.
Oh, what do you got?
Rapid
fire.
Punisher. Actually, Red Punisher. I got caught up on this. This is super great. A couple issues back, he helped out Black Widow, and Black Widow started to take Punisher back to New York or Los Angeles or wherever, and then realized, you know, this guy really is kind of a menace, and so she dropped him off at a prison. And so he's in this, I don't know if it's Mexican or
Costa Rican, I think.
Costa Rican, yeah, maybe. So anyway, he's in this prison trying to formulate an escape, and at the same time, his disappearance now from L.A. has sent L.A. spiraling into chaos, and so the drug lords are going nuts there and having these all-out wars, and the police officer that he left behind, she was helping him out on the side. She has now decided to take the law in her own hands, and she's...
Right, she's gone Punisher.
Yeah, she's kind of doing the Punisher thing.
She's gone Punisher.
And it's still a really good book. Like, I just love the way that Edmondson and Gerard's do their whole
Militaristic... Punisher.
Yeah. So, still really good. Definitely worth checking out. I enjoyed that one a lot.
I read this. It was good.
I also read the Justice League United.
Ooh, didn't read that.
If I can get it to come up over here. The computer doesn't want to pull up the cover all of a sudden, and probably for good reason. It's not bad. Like, I can't say that this is a bad... I can't say it's a bad issue, but it's...
Would you pick this up, honestly, would you pick this up off the rack? Because I saw this, and I was like, ooh, I don't even want to touch that.
The problem is, this issue is a setup for something big that's coming. And you don't get the reveal for what the big thing is that's coming until the very last page. Like, technically, Secret the last page. It's going to be a crossover between... Here, hit the spoiler bell. Or not.
Oh, wait, hold on. I was muted.
There you go. All right. It's a crossover between Justice League United and the Legion of Superheroes. And it's, in fact, Mon-El from the Legion of Superheroes says, I have come back in time thousands of years, and I have to kill that alien baby in order to save the Legion of Superheroes. And so, there you go. There's going to be something...
That alien baby?
Yeah, because this whole first arc has been them stopping these people who are trying to create this genetic warrior. They were taking little bits of alien DNA and mixing them all together, trying to make the perfect weapon that would turn from a baby into adult in a matter of months, and then they could drop behind enemy lines and it would just take everybody out. And so they've rescued this baby. They're trying to figure out now what to do with it, and most of this issue is just tying up the loose ends from the first arc and fleshing out the backstory of this particular character who kind of came out of nowhere and you didn't know anything about. And so it's really just a, you know, brushing everything up, getting the dust off the floor, getting everything cleaned off the table so that they can do this big thing with the Legion of Superheroes next. So that's fine as far as where it's going, but this particular issue, it's not bad, but there's just nothing remarkable about it except for the very last page, you know. So that's kind of the problem with that issue. Future's End was Brainiac is... You know, basically, he's become the collector, and he's stealing a little bit of every civilization he can find in order to add to his intelligence.
And Howard the Duck.
And that's what he's doing in outer space. And so, of course, the heroes that have found him accidentally are now trying to head back towards Earth, and so, of course, he's going to follow them back to Earth. Well, at the same time on Earth, the brother I has now started to experiment on humans. And Brother I brings forward this monstrosity he's built, basically taking Batman and Joker and splicing them together into one mind, one being, one crazy evil experiment. And so we see now Brother I experimenting on humans, and now here comes Brainiac heading towards Earth, and you just kind of get this vision of... things are not going to work out well should these two ever... You know, you got the gatekeeper and the keymaster here, and they're coming together, so you got to watch out. So, it's still enjoyable. It's still enjoyable.
I haven't gotten to that issue yet. I have fallen quite behind with Future's End, so...
I'm trying to think. That's really about all I got, so... All right, go ahead.
Anybody else? Go ahead.
I was going to say what my click of the week was.
Go for it.
Batman 35.
No kidding.
Yep.
What? But that's not a Marvel book.
It is not. There wasn't anything from Marvel I really enjoyed this week. I haven't read Rocket Raccoon, so that could have been one, but I didn't read it yet.
It was good. I read it. It wouldn't be my click of the week, though.
It was like Amazing Spider-Man. It was like, normally I kind of rushed to read it, but I was just like, eh. That's my reaction to everything.
I'll go with Batman 35 also, because, yeah, looking at everything else that came out this week, maybe I could argue that with Winterworld, because I did enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Maybe Winterworld, I would say, would be my non-superhero pick of the week, but for my overall, I think Batman 35 was the one I enjoyed the most.
You know what? I'm going to go with my... first instinct for my non-superhero click of the week, which is Birthright number one, and I'm also going to make it my click of the week this week too, because I've used this criteria before. I felt like I had the best time reading this book this week. You know, I enjoyed myself reading this book, so I'm going to make it my click of the week as well as my non-superhero click of the week.
And Roddy Cat says, there's a familiar-looking goo that shows up in Captain Marvel. Also, Tick is a Nowlandian, which is amusing.
Yes.
Marvel Now, Avengers Now.
And let's see if he put his click of the week in the spreadsheet at the bottom. Nope. So I'm sure he'll tweet out. Yeah, he'll tweet out. So use the Comic Book Chronicles hashtag to see what hit Freddy Cat's click of the week is. So with that, we want to remind everyone to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts.
Yes, yes.
I am at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. And go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. And Agent 70 is at Agent_70.
Make sure to look out for my tweets, right? I'll be at New York Comic Con tomorrow and Saturday and part of Sunday. Chang Chang.
Chang Chang. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we'll be back next week to hear all about that and discuss the news and whatnot.
Absolutely, and share some swag or stuff I bought or whatever I'm able to get my hands on. Show off photographs.
Nobody read Zombie Tramp number 3. I'm a little sad.
Yeah, you know, that cover just, you know, makes you want to pick it up and open up the cover.
Actually, this is the clean cover. There's a risque variant that you can get.
That's funny. Do you guys hear the sad? I'm clicking on it. I don't hear anything.
I heard it 3 times.
Jeez, sorry about that. A little quick on the trigger there, sorry.
So we'll be back next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Actually, yeah, I'll be here next week. That's the week after. I may not be on.
All right. See. Foreshadowing. Dun, dun, dun.
We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!